Please join in the prayer of dedication. What can we offer that you have not already offered us? What can we do that you have not done for us? Lord Jesus Christ, in your gifts to us, you have provided us the way to live and serve you. In both your triumph and your suffering, you deserve our praise. Through the gifts we now offer, we express our longing to serve and to follow wherever you go. Amen. Please be seated. Our next scripture reading is John 13, 1 through 17. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not know, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is clean all over, and you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and that was why he said, "You are not all clean." When he had washed their feet and taken his garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So if you know these things, blessed are you who do them. The word of God for the people of God.
So a woman was walking the beach at dawn. She noticed a young man ahead of her picking up starfish and flinging them into the sea. Catching up with the youth, she asked what he was doing, and he said, "Well, you see the starfish? If they remain on shore, they will die in the morning sun." The woman responded, "But the beach goes on for miles and miles, and there are hundreds of starfish. How can your effort make any difference?" And the young man took the starfish that was in his hand and, throwing it safely into the waves, says, "It makes a difference to this one." Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I'm sure you've heard the Dr. Seuss story, Red Fish, Blue Fish. Well, I have a new story. It goes like this. Large feet, small feet, long feet, short feet, lean feet, stubby feet, lovely feet, smelly feet, all kinds of feet. Did you know that our feet will carry us an equivalent of 5 times around the earth in an average lifetime? Did you know that the foot consists of 26 bones necessary for balance? Did you know that our feet mirror our health? That doctors look at our feet for signs of disease such as diabetes, arthritis, and circulatory and neurological issues. We can be stopped dead in our tracks by corns and bunions, athlete's foot, gout, ingrown toenails and heel spurs. And fractures, well, they can land us in one of those very stylish boots. Really, our feet are quite amazing. And did you know that God is quite concerned about our feet? And why? Because, well, they're indicators of our spiritual well-being. You see, our feet can lead us into trouble. Isaiah 59:7 says, "Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their path." Now other feet are yielded to God. Job, and he's defending himself to his accusatory friend, says, "I was eyes to the blind. I was feet to the lame." Psalm 119:59 to 60, the psalmist says, "I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands." Today we wrap up our series in this Lenten season, the seven things God hates, found in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19. And the emphasis today is on our feet, for God hates feet that rush into evil. Like David, whose feet were quick to engage in adultery and murder, and Judas, whose feet were quick to betray Jesus. Yet not all evil is as bold as adultery, murder, and betrayal. For instance, there were four preachers having coffee one day, and one preacher noted, "Our people come to us and pour out their hearts, confess their sins, seek prayers for forgiveness. Why don't we do that? Confession is good for the soul." Well, in due time, they all agreed to share their struggle with sin, and one preacher confessed that he would tell a lie to his secretary, slip away from the office, and would go to the movies. Another confessed that he liked to smoke cigars and sip a little whiskey. And another, well, he liked to play poker. The fourth wouldn't confess his sins, but the others pressured him into it, and he finally said, "Okay, I confess, I like to gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here." Feet that are quick to rush into evil are like that. They are feet that show no resistance to sin. They waste no time in engaging in things that will dishonor God or harm others. And God hates such feet. But I don't want to dwell on that which God hates. I want to look at what God loves. And God loves beautiful feet. Isaiah 52:7, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, 'Your God reigns.'" And nobody embodies this passage more than Jesus Christ. And no one has more beautiful feet than he. During his three-year ministry, Jesus did not build a building and hang a sign. He walked. He walked across Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, proclaiming the arrival of God's reign on earth. His feet brought good news of salvation, peace for sinners, and forgiveness of sins. Jesus' feet rushed to teach, to heal, to forgive, and to restore. Today we remember that day that Jesus' feet dragged a little on the ground as he rode into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey to shouts of, "Hosanna, save us." But this week we'll close with those feet bearing the weight of a cross and his beautiful feet being pierced for our sins. You see, they're beautiful feet of a beautiful Savior. The purpose of our Lenten series is to look at the ways in which we are to mature into the likeness of Jesus Christ, to be less like us and more like him every day. And thus, to be like him, we ought to have beautiful feet. And how? Well, let's turn to that familiar story that comes up this time of year, our Holy Thursday scripture, the washing of the disciples' feet. When we compile the gospel accounts of the happenings in the upper room, we discover that preparations are being made for the annual feast of Passover, the celebration of the Israelites' escape from Egypt and God's deliverance of the people. Like Thanksgiving and Christmas meals, there would have been great conversation and the smell of good food. And one conversation, the disciples were continuing their jockeying for greatness, for position. And then there's Judas there, betrayal on his mind, 30 pieces of silver jingling in his money bag. And then the scent of nard lingering in Jesus' skin and hair, remnants of an act of worship the day before by his dear friend Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. As this meal was being served, Jesus looked around to the happenings in the room and with love in his heart, silently stood, removed his outer garment, wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet. As I shared with the children, the roads in those days were muddy and dirty and traveled by animals, and there was a lot of grime on people's feet. They were kind of grody. And in those days, if you were to come to someone's house, they would greet you with a kiss, an oil for your face, and a servant, not the host, would be called upon to wash your feet. As Jesus is moving about the room, I can imagine the disciples who know this custom silently glancing at each other, thinking, what's he doing? Why is he doing this? And maybe a few might have thought, why didn't I think of doing this? Why didn't I wash Jesus' feet? Remember back in week one, God hates haughty eyes, pride, while God loves humility. Well, in this one story, we see examples of both. Pride, as not one disciple took the role of a servant. No one washed the feet of the others. And then the picture of humility. The one who deserved to have his feet washed was doing the washing. Well, you know, finally Jesus comes to Peter. I don't know about you, but I love Peter. I really love Peter. He says, no way, Jesus, you are not going to wash my feet. And Jesus says, Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. And now Peter says, okay, do me all over, do my head and my hands. You know, we don't have the picture of this scene, but I can see Jesus going, rolling his eyes, smiling, and said, Peter, a person who has had a bath only needs their feet washed. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean. And then the parenthetical, but not all of you, as Jesus refers to Judas. You know, as we ponder having beautiful feet, the first thing we need to think about is how we need to stay close to Jesus. So close to Jesus that we allow him to touch our feet every day. For you see, when we confess and believe Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we are made clean. Our baptism symbolizes how we are die to self and are raised to new life, how we are washed. And we are covered in his righteousness, but our feet have to still maneuver day to day in a sinful world. This gospel story reminds us we are clean, but our feet need constant cleansing. They need to be touched by Jesus every day. And how does that happen? Well, it happens through the Word of God. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In chapel during the week with the children, we sometimes sing a song and one of the verses goes, be careful little feet where you go. Are we honoring God with our feet? Are our feet going to places that don't honor God? Are our feet engaging in things that do not bring honor to God? You see, Jesus and later James encourage us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. You see, we can engage in Bible study for head knowledge, but that's not enough because the word needs to reach our feet. Otherwise, it's of no value. You see, if we are reading and applying God's word and it's transforming us, our feet will be too busy following Jesus to get into mischief. It's when we stray from God's word that our feet go off the path and we can find ourselves rushing toward evil. Daily fellowship with Jesus, allowing his grace to touch us, to cleanse us from our sin, and God's word to guide our feet every day. This is how we get beautiful feet. We stay close to Jesus. But we also get beautiful feet by doing what Jesus did. Because as Jesus finishes washing the disciples' feet, he looks around the room and he says, "Guys, do you understand? You call me teacher and Lord, and I am. As I then have washed your feet, so you are to wash another's feet. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. You will be blessed if you do this." In some Christian traditions, foot washing is considered a sacrament and practiced regularly. In our tradition, this moment in the life of Jesus is reenacted on Holy Thursday. And while it is good to actually wash someone's feet, Jesus is giving us more than a sacrament. He is giving us an object lesson. Jesus reminds us that no servant is better than the master, and no messenger is better than the one who sent him. You see, Jesus is teacher, savior, and Lord. Yet with great humility, he knelt before his disciples and washed their feet, and then said, "You are not greater than I. Humble yourselves and do this to one another." You see, it's a lesson in humility. Jesus is teaching a lesson in serving others. You see, beautiful feet wash feet. In other words, beautiful feet humbly serve. They do as Jesus did. And we know in our heart of hearts, we know what that looks like. It's visiting the shut-in, taking someone to the doctor, reading to the children in preschool, knitting or crocheting an item for Wrapped in Love, going on a mission trip, praying for a friend, adopting maybe one of the children in our church and taking one under wing, fixing a meal for someone who came home from the hospital, cleaning up a yard, volunteering in the community. We know what it means to serve. But there's more. There is one other thing Jesus did that we are to do, and this one is always difficult. He brought good news. Remember Isaiah 52:7? Paul quotes it in Romans 10. "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without someone preaching to them? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." You know, friends, picture yourself around sitting at a swimming pool. You're lounging in a chair. Meanwhile, a man in the pool swimming, and suddenly you hear flailing, a cry for help. The man is drowning. There's a life-saving ring on the fence near you, and you have a choice. Do you watch him drown, or do you throw him a lifeline? What do you do? I bet you throw him the ring, or if you could, you would dive in and help him. You would call for help. You would do all in your power to save him. Yet when it comes to those who are drowning in sin, who are lost, those who will die separated from God, those who need Jesus, we sit and read a book, take a nap, and ignore cries for help. Isaiah and Paul both tell us beautiful feet are swift to bring good news. Friends, beautiful feet stay close to Jesus. They allow his word, his life, and his grace to wash over them daily. And beautiful feet do as Jesus did, humbly serving others and bearing the good news. For how can someone call on the name of Jesus if they don't know his name? Have you ever read scripture and not seen something and then it suddenly hits you? This happened to me the fourth week of the series. So listen to Proverbs 6:16 to 19. Maybe you'll catch it. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness, and those who stir up dissension in the community. Did you notice the first five? Eyes, tongue, hands, heart, feet. If I'd have seen this more than 6 weeks ago, I would have named this series a total body makeover. Because you see, friends, in Christ we are a new creation. The old is gone. To mature in Christ, we let go of our haughty eyes for eyes of compassion and concern for others. We let go of our lying tongue, tongues that sow dissension, and we exchange them for tongues of truth and tongues that sow peace and unity. We let go of hands that harm for hands that heal and help. We let go of hearts that devise wicked schemes for hearts that love God and love people. And we let go of stinky feet, feet that rush into evil, for beautiful feet that bring good news. For in Christ, God desires to restore us into the divine image with which we were created. Our transformation brings glory to God and benefits the world around us. Every day we walk streets, stores, doctor's offices, and so many other places, and while there are not starfish, there are people. And many do not know Jesus, and we might be the only Bible they ever read, the only way they will come to know Christ. When we share, it may not matter in a grand scheme, but it will matter to that one person. So for the question today, do you want beautiful feet? If so, stay close to Jesus. Let his grace cleanse you and his word guide your path. Wash each other's feet, humbly serving in Jesus' name, and share the good news of salvation. For in him there is life and hope. Thanks be to God. Amen.